Romans 8, 16, 22. We'll read these verses and then we'll let you rest. Romans 8, 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Man, I'm tempted to stop right there. And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Say now. Until now. You may be seated. I want to preach to you about who you are again. I want to talk to you about what we're called to do and how important of a responsibility it is. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We have to understand who we are. I know I feel like we talk about this a lot, but we're going to keep talking about it, Doug, until we get it. Because we must understand who we really are on this earth. I've got a different take on it. I'm not sitting around waiting on the rapture to take place. In my head, that went better. I'm not going to just sit and wait for him to come and take me out of here because he put me here for a purpose. And I got to understand who I am in the grand scheme of things. He said, we are now the children of God. And if we're the children of God, then we are heirs of God and we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So not only is there a sonship, there is also an heirship. There are some things that we have that belong to us. And Dustin, we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to experience them. We have been designed to experience them here on earth right now. He said the glory would be revealed in us. I don't think that's talking in the sweet by and by, but the glory of God will be delivered and revealed to the children of God here on earth while we're here. And we got to know what we got to do to make that happen. I got to be careful. The whole creation is groaning. The creature, the cosmos, was made vanity because of the sin of Adam. When Adam fell, creation fell. It was created for him, and through sin came destruction. Everything you have is at its very best when it first comes off the assembly line. After that point, it begins to deteriorate because there is a law of heat and friction that everything is not getting better, but it is getting worse. Can you say amen? Despite what the evolutionists may tell me, that things are evolving into something better, that you can look around and see that everything, on the contrary, is getting worse. Amen. Until now. Until now, he said. Until now. And until what? You know what we do, Brother Eddie? We give Adam way too much credit. Because we say that what he did in the garden destroyed all of mankind. Well, if Jesus came to totally undo what Adam did in the garden, that means what Jesus did is made it possible for all mankind to be saved. I don't think it's just a select few. I think he died for the whole world, and the blood is enough to save everybody from the uttermost to the guttermost. I believe he's able. If what Adam did destroyed it, what Jesus did made it right. If the first Adam tore it up, I'm glad the second Adam came, that it may be made whole again. I believe that this earth that we live on right now is waiting on us to show up and be the children of God so that it can be transformed back to what it was intended to be. Make you nervous? Preacher, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. There's a new me, but there ain't two of me. I believe that the very creation that we live on can be transformed by the revelation of the sons of God. I think that entire economic systems can be changed because the sons of God are revealed. I believe entire towns can be renewed. People can find their way back to Him when the sons of God show up and be the sons of God that they were called to be. We've heard sonship over and over and over, and we understand it's why the devil challenges your sonship. He comes to you and tries to make you doubt that you're even saved. And what he goes by is by your behavior and your failure. Amen. He looks at where you come up short, and he never, ever points out the things that you are doing right, because if he can make you doubt your sonship, you won't walk in confidence with God. Well, I'm here to tell you today, it ain't about your behavior. It's about your position. And if you're in the right position and you're in him and he's in you, there ain't no devil can stop you. He said, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." I was praying, and I said, "God, if I've ever misrepresented your love, I'm sorry. God, I repent. If I've ever misrepresented who you are and what you want to do, God, forgive me." I said, "God, if I was ever to preach in a way that wasn't honoring to who you are, God, find a way to stop me. I don't want to ever bring dishonor to," oh, come on, all of us have done something a time or two that would bring dishonor to your Savior. Every one of us, we like sheep, we've all gone astray. Every man has turned to his own way. But we've got a Savior that has made it possible that even in our failure, He makes it work out for His good. I got to share this story again. There's a story of a man, Eugene. He built rugs, and he was a master rug maker. People from all over the world would come to him and ask him to make their rug. He was so skilled that they would wait for years for him to weave their rug. His granddaughter came to him at 6 years old, and she said, "I want to make one. I want to make one." She had a desire, and the old man gave her his favorite needles. Everyone waited for this rug to be produced to see what it would look like, and when it came out, they said it was one of his best, most beautiful rugs he had ever made. They looked at him, and they said, "She has the gift, doesn't she?" "Oh, your granddaughter has the gift." He said, "No, she's got a lot to learn. She's got a long way to go." They said, "How did the rug turn out so beautiful?" He said, "I anticipated her mistakes, and I made them work in to the grand scheme of things, and it turned out just like this." I'm here to tell you, I got a God that's building something, and He's so awesome at it that He's even anticipated our mistakes, because He's still going to bring something glorious to this world, not in spite of who we are. That's how awesome He is. Oh, man. The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. He's waiting on us to realize who we are. And once we realize who we are, and AJ, we understand that we are now heirs and joint heirs, that there are some things that belong to us. It's not just being a son that gets it done. You must be a mature son. You must be a mature daughter of God. Why, preacher? Because even though one may be heir, until they come of age, they're nothing more than a servant. But the Father decides when they get to a place that they can possess. In theology, this is called the already not yet theology. What does that mean? That means we have some things that are already ours, but we haven't yet realized how awesome they are. They're already there, ours, but we're not yet walking in them. But I'm here to tell you, soon and very soon, because I see in the eyes of a group of people a witness that they're about to move in to the manifestation of the sons of God. They're tired of church as normal. They're tired of trying to get it done politically and economically, but they know there's a God that still sets up high and looks down low, and he's able to do it. What are we waiting on? What are we waiting on? We're dabbling around in stuff that's pulling us away when he's ready for us to walk in glorious liberty. We're having debates about things that don't matter. The enemy has lied to us too many times, and we believe his lies. I told this before, I'll tell you again. Somebody came to me one time and said, "Pray for me, the devil's lying to me." So what are we praying about? You know he's lying? Yeah. I mean, I'd be like somebody come up to you and tell a lie, and you know it's a lie, and say, "Hey, y'all help me that I don't believe that." What do you mean? What are we praying for? You know it's a lie. Why would you even entertain that? And people tell the truth, and we what has the devil done? He's tricked us into believing that we're not sons, that this doesn't belong to us right now. We sing the song, "In the sweet by and by." In the sweet by and by, I don't know when that's going to happen. But I know right now, I've got right now, and he's gave me everything I need right now. And I don't have to wait till the sweet by and by. I'm here to tell you about a group of people that's not just going to take over our families. We're going to take over a town and take over a city. Why? Because the kingdom of God must advance. We're dealing with trivial things when we should be manifesting. Preacher, let me ask you this. Can I watch this movie or that movie? Can I drink this? Can I drink that? Can I do this? Can I do that? Can I do that? Would you just get a hold of Jesus? We're trying to skirt around all of it and what? Just dive in. Nobody ever comes to say, "Man, how deep you think I can really go?" They're like, "How shallow can I stay and still make it?" Get away from the edge. Dive in. There must be a level of sonship. There must be a level that we walk in that we begin to manifest. How does that happen? When the glory on the inside of you gets so great that it can't be contained and it shows on the outside of you, the world will see a difference. Amen. This cosmos is waiting on us to mature, to grow up. And we're held back in such shallow ground. You know the thing the devil tells you can't overcome? He's a liar. You say, "But you don't know how difficult it is." I'm going to tell you this. I know a Savior that can move it out of the way. But we're trying to do it in our own strength, our own power, our own wit, our own intellect. But it's not by power, and it's not by might. But he said, it's by my spirit. Said, "Man, can I get real with you for a minute? Does anybody experience the spirit in a way lately that says, come closer?" Anybody hear this? I'm not a prophet, but I do hear something that says, it's time. It's time. It's time to quit playing around with it, and it's time to get serious about it, because there's a world that's waiting on you to show up and show the glory of God. Not your glory, not your skill, not your pretty face. He's waiting on you to show the glory of God, and the only way to do that is have the Spirit of God moving in me in a way that I can't contain it anymore. It's not about chill bumps. It's not about a sweet little shiver. It's about a life-changing spirit that'll take over a person's life and make them new again. They say, why are you yelling? Because I'm excited. It doesn't have the same effect if I go, you're talking about a spirit that can move and can take over and help people. It don't have the same effect, does it? What has he called you to do? And the devil's got you over here looking at something so trivial. What the devil has to offer will never satisfy, because you have been called to something greater. You know what's really aggravating is when you know what you can do and it doesn't happen. You know what I'm talking about? For whatever reason it is, you're like, man, I know I can't. I know we could do this, but this is holding me back and that's holding me back. Man, that's so aggravating. I know what I can do. The only thing I know to do is understand who I am and begin to walk in who I am. Because when I know who I am, I know what belongs to me. And when I know what belongs to me, I don't have any problem taking it. But you know the reason we don't have the gift of healing working in the church? Because nobody thinks they're worthy to have the gift of healing. Because you think it's based, you think it's based on you and it's based on him. When's the last time have you asked for a gift? When's the last time you prayed, God, give me a gift? Can I talk about him for a minute? Give me a little latitude. This ain't in my sermon, but okay, give me some latitude right here. You know what? God's got some gifts for you. He said, covet earnestly the best gifts. Covet those gifts. You have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, you ask amiss. You ain't even believing it. You're double-minded. And a double-minded man won't receive anything of God. So you got to be single-minded. Your eye has to be single so that your whole body can be full of light. That's what he's called us to do, is be the light. I don't care the level of darkness. It doesn't matter. You know what we do? We give sin levels. Oh, it's stage 4. That's worse darkness than stage 1 darkness. It doesn't matter when the light comes on what stage the darkness is. The light will take care of the darkness. You know what I got to do? I got to be light. How do I be light? How do I become light? The only way to become, listen, when you're talking light in the Bible, you're talking about fire. The Apostle Edison hadn't been around yet. There were no bubs. So when they talked about light, they talked about fire. It's fire that gives light. That's why it takes the Spirit to, oh man, John, let me take you here. I gotta hurry. Now we're getting to my sermon. Introduction's over. Here we go. John 1:1. I have preached this since I had hair and was skinny. John 1:1. Watch this. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Man, this is so good, because we've got to realize and come to the revelation of who Jesus is. I have been preaching this since I was 17 years old. I'm 26 now. It's been a while. The revelation of who Jesus is makes all the difference. Let me try this over here on the third row. People pointing the wrong way. The revelation of Jesus Christ makes all the difference. Why? Why? Because when I realize who he is, I realize what I can do through him. Church history says they went to John and they said, hey man, will you write a gospel? Sure, I'll write you a gospel. And he sat down and wrote a gospel under the inspiration of God. But he did it different than Matthew and Luke. He didn't start with genealogies. You know why? Because he's having problems with those Hebrews still worshiping Abraham and Moses. all about, oh, it's my, I'm of my father Abraham, and we be Abraham's seed, and we've never been bondage to any man, and hey, it's Moses, and it's Elijah, and let's build three tabernacles and try to make them equal with Jesus, and they were a mess. God buried Moses. Do you know why most scholars believe God buried Moses? So nobody would know where his grave was, so they didn't gather around it all the time and worship him. John said, I'm not even starting with Abraham. I don't even want to talk about Moses. He said, I'm going to take you back farther. In the beginning was the Word. Before Abraham was, I am. Before Moses ever showed up, he was already there. Oh, I'm not talking about a religious leader. I'm talking about the one by whom all things were created. Every star, every tree came through his word.
Oh, this is good. It's getting gooder. It's getting ready to get gooder.
Back me up, Jacob. Verse 1, I want y'all to see this. When you see it, it's better. In the beginning was the capital W. And the was what? And the word was. He's like, oh, that's cool. No, you have no idea what we just read. Well, you'd be like. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Watch this. In him was, and the life was the. When you get a revelation of who Jesus is, you're going to get light. Illumination. Revelation. He's going to open some things up to you. He wasn't just some Jewish dude out there walking around teaching good things and then died and that was it. That's not who he was. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Verse 5. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness can't handle it. The darkness comprehended it not. What in the world? Let me tell you what darkness is. The absence of light. Here's the sermon. Then we're going to do a baby dedication. I'll let you all eat, okay? Here's the sermon. We can't sit around and complain about the darkness because the darkness isn't the problem. The darkness is just the absence of light. So what we need to do is stop talking about the darkness and just turn on the light. Who knew it was that easy? Bunch of liberals are voting this way and that way, and they're going to go to hell in a handbasket. Turn on the light! Had a bumper sticker on saying, I'm a Democrat and a Christian. You can't be both. Turn on the light! People down there make me sick. They're going to shut down the coal mine. Turn on the light! This kind of preaching keeps the lights on, brother. Because when we turn on the light, the darkness can't help but scatter. That's so profound, ain't it? How do we turn on the light? We think it's a switch, and I'm not talking switches. I'm talking about a fire. You got to understand the context. When we say turn on light, every one of y'all thought flip the switch, didn't you? Nobody was. Nobody. Nobody's ever. Where's my flint? No, you're like, oh, turn on the light. It's about building a fire. A fire that puts off light and puts off heat. Because that's what the Spirit does. Can I keep going? Everybody all right right now? The light shines in the dark and darkness comes in. Next verse. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Who's writing this? John. I mean, he should have said, there was a man sent from God whose name was me. But he tells you he's John. Now, John had a little different attitude about himself. He calls himself John the. He actually says, they ran to the tomb and Peter and the disciple that Jesus loved, me. Who does that? He called himself the disciple that Jesus loved. How does he do that? Because he understood something the others didn't. And so when he writes his gospel, he don't start with Abraham or Moses. He goes back to the very beginning. Because whether you realize this or not, when God kicked him out of the garden, there wasn't hate in his heart. It was still love.
Oh, man.
Here you are thinking that God's ready to pop you upside the head every time you do something wrong. If that's the case, you'd have knots all over you. Same came for a witness to bear witness of the capital light, that all men through him might. How many men? That a select few. No, this is to everybody. This is to absolutely everybody. You know what that means? That means this light that I got is for everybody. But you don't know my situation. I don't care your situation. You may have been baptized so many times, as Brother Eddie said, the fish know your social security number. Doesn't matter. This light's for you. I know how it works. Dustin, I was baptized so many times. Everybody baptized me. Because I'd try to live right, and then I'd mess up, and I'd quit. Then I'd go back to church, and I'd feel guilty, and I'd go to the altar, and I'd go get somebody else to baptize me. That scripture said he brought me through many waters. That was me. Coal City Community Church down there at Pemberton. I mean, so many different places. I don't care what's going on in your life. This light's for you. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Keep going. I gotta get to a verse. I don't know how long it is. Maybe three chapters. Verse 9. That was the which... How many men? Oh, man. Do you know what that means? Everybody. Sorry, Mr. Calvin, but you dead wrong. Every man that cometh into the world can partake of this light. Everybody. Even Uncle Henry. You don't know Uncle Henry. His wife, she's a booze hag. Can they be saved? Yes. The light's for them too. I have sinned. I have sinned. I've walked away. I've messed up. My pride's gotten away. This has gotten away. My misunderstanding gotten away. I've walked away. It's for you too. I was there. He said, I was there. I was there too. Aaron, I walked away and he brought me back. I left, he brought me back. It's not just to a select few. It's to everybody. This light is available to everybody. So get rid of your hatred. Get rid of your attitude. He gave it to you to shine, and you don't get to pick who you shine it on. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every man. This is not just for America. Keep going, preacher. I got so much stuff going through my head right now. I better leave it alone. We're getting in trouble. He was in the world, and the world was made by who? Really? By him? And he was in the world, and the world knew him. Verse 11, he came into his and his own but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become what? The sons of God. Even to them that believe on what? What is his name? Oh, man. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it. We got to get this. This is important. Next verse. which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of, I've been born of God. I have been born of God. Let's go. And the word was made. That word that was in the beginning was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Watch this. Everybody else started with Abraham and genealogies. Watch what John does. Next verse. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. I don't know if you know it or not, but Mary went over there and helped Elizabeth give birth to John. But he said, he was before me. Not according to the calendar. We ain't talking about the calendar. We're talking about eternity. All right, let's go. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Hurry. For the law, I love it, I love it, I love John. I love this guy. Hey, listen, don't y'all think he was some little sissy running around like Jesus loves me? He wasn't. People say, I was worried about John a little bit. He's ever got his head laying on Jesus' chest. I don't know about that guy. You know, Jesus called him and his brother the sons of thunder. So go ahead and go up there and say, John, what are you doing? And the son of thunder stands up. For the law was given by, y'all know that guy y'all love so much, that the Jewish people love so much that they had to hide him so you wouldn't worship him. He said the law was given by, but grace and truth came by. Do we know who we serve? Come on, musicians, come up here. Make me nervous. I'm not closing this just to give y'all hope. Listen to this verse. No man hath seen God at... Wait a minute. To you Bible readers, tell me, didn't Moses say? What did he say? What did Moses say?
Seen him face to face.
Moses said, I seen him face to face. So when John writes this... this is a slap in the face. Is he going against God's word? Or is he declaring, when you back up about the fullness, is he saying something different? He's saying, Moses seen him in a way, but no man hath fully seen him. Abraham was a friend of God, but nobody has fully seen him. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. What does that mean, preacher? That means when you see Jesus, you see it. And when you see it, it puts light in you that has to shine, because that's the only way the light comes through, is through revelation. Let me prove it. Whom do men say that I am? Some say Elias. Some say that. Who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Upon this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell won't prevail. I'm here to tell you, I know who Jesus is, and there ain't no devil can stop me now. He's declared him in his fullness. Why do we need to know this? Because there's a world out there looking for an answer. There's a world out there that thinks there's... No, should I do this or not? Okay, that's enough, yes. So y'all just hold on back there. They think there's a God of the Old Testament, a God of the New Testament, and a God of the Old Testament. We're around killing everybody, and Jesus loved everybody and was good. And I heard a guy say one time, he said, I don't really like God, but I like Jesus. God was mean and hateful. Jesus loved everybody. Everything that you think about God that doesn't line up in the revelation of Jesus, get rid of it. good. That's good, Aaron. You like it? Me too. Because I got these ideas about what went on in the Old Testament different than the New Testament. But he came to show himself in the New Testament in a way that was complete. All right, here we go in the conclusion. Conclusion is this. I don't care what walk of life you're in right now. I want to give you some light. And the light is this. There is a man that died on a cross. You say, oh, I know this. No, we got to get this. Because the power's in the gospel. He died for your sins. He was more than a man. He was more than a prophet. Listen, everybody in this room, listen to me right now. I want you to hear this. If you think that Jesus was God's punching bag so that he don't hit you, you got the wrong idea. If you're caught up on penal substitution, that Jesus had to come so that God could just beat him and beat him so he wouldn't, because he wanted to beat you. So instead of beating you, he beat his own son. He took it all out on him, and now you're free to go, and he doesn't really love you, but he has to. Some of y'all think God don't like you. He likes you. He loves you. How do I know he loves you? Because it wasn't God on the outside beating his son so that he wouldn't have to beat you. It was God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now it's the greatest love story ever. It's, I'll take your pain. I'll take your sorrow. I'll carry your cross. I'll be tempted like you're tempted. I'll be touched with the feeling of your infirmities. I'll do it for you. He loves you that much. Man, I'm telling you, we're going to get more out of this when we grasp it, Jason. Dustin, when you get that fire in your heart and it begins to consume you, nobody's going to have to follow you around and tell you what to watch and what not to watch. Nobody's going to have to tell you, oh, no. There's going to be something in you that says, man, I refuse to offend him. Christianity's hard when you're not in love. It's trying to live with somebody you don't love. It's tough. You know how I know? Because they write songs about it. And they're usually country and they're sad. And they say things like, the hardest thing I ever had to do is holding her and loving you. What in the world? It's not that difficult when you love him. Because then you don't want to hold the devil. I probably shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do this. Because on the other hand, there's a golden band. What are you saying? Man, I'm betrothed to another. Want you. I'm married to another. I don't want you. You know why? Because in him is life and light and goodness. I'm tired of struggling in the way of a transgressor. I want to walk in the light of the truth of God. Here's what we do. Here's how this works. We're done now. I'm done. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to play a song. We're going to sing a song. If you need prayer, come up, stand right here. We're going to pray with you. If you're ready to surrender your life to God, come up here and kneel at the altar and we will pray with you. If you're tired of darkness and misery and struggle and trying to paint it like it's light when it's not light, trying to convince yourself that this is all right and it's good, you don't know what you're missing. The only begotten will reveal to you the character of the Father. If you've been hurt, He can heal your hurt. If somebody let you down, He'll never let you down. So right now, we're going to play a song, sing a song. You shouldn't have had that intro. See, you should have started, because here I go again. Let's stand. Let's stand. Let's stand. Man, we're going to pray with somebody today. Who will it be? God's dealing with your heart. Why fight it? Why put it off till tomorrow, today?